From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with David Commande about the Heartland Festival Orchestra's season opener, Beethoven's Eighth Wonder, featuring soloist Rachel Barton Pine. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jen.
Now, this is really an epic title for your program, Beethoven's Eighth Wonder. Can you take us through that?
Well, we have arrived in our cycle of Beethoven symphonies to the wonderful Eighth Symphony, which has marvelous associations for me, having been actually the piece with which I graduated my conducting studies in Vienna, performed the whole symphony with the Niederösterreichisches Tonkünstlerorchester in the Musikverein, which is the hall where in the heart of Vienna where, for example, Brahms sat to hear some of his premieres. It's a great memory for me, and I love the piece. And the symphony is the Eighth Wonder. All the symphonies, of course, are wondrous, and so there we are.
Mm-hmm. And when you went about programming this, obviously we have the Beethoven Violin Concerto to balance out the symphony itself, but then you start off with the overture, the Egmont Overture. How did you pair the Egmont Overture with the rest of the program?
Well, first of all Beethoven programs are distinguished by their variety, not their unanimity, because of Beethoven's amazing scope and his ingenuity in practically every work that he composed. So I don't make a habit of all anybody concerts, except obviously Beethoven, as I'm saying, is a great composer for that purpose. The Eighth Symphony is very substantial, but not all that long and not all that massive. When you think about the Fifth Symphony, even the Third Symphony, the Sixth and the Seventh and the Ninth, especially coming up, those are bigger works. They're longer, they're heavier, they're more substantial. Whereas the Eighth Symphony, revolutionary and amazing though it is a relative lighter symphony. They might have been called a Grecian maiden and so forth. Anyway, so I was looking for an anchoring work to balance the lighter symphony, and the violin concerto, actually well in advance of specifically being this program, struck me as a perfect pairing because of the expanse of the violin concerto and its importance musically. In fact, atypically, we will have the concerto on the second half of the program. And the overture opens the program because overtures are great for that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Beethoven Violin Concerto. Musically, how does it compare to some other violin concertos that are kind of equally prominent in the repertoire? And I'm thinking here of like the Tchaikovsky and the Brahms.
Well, first of all, the Beethoven Violin Concerto began its life with no great success. He wrote it for Franz Clement, who was a virtuoso violinist and composer, whom he had in high regard. It was finished last minute. The story is told that Clement close to sight-read it in the premiere performance, and that Clement, also being a showman at some point, turned the violin around, was playing it in so-called upside down as kind of a circus trick. So given all those factors, the first premiere did not land it in the repertory, and it was not until the 1840s, literally decades later, when Joseph Joachim, who's the violinist and close friend of Johannes Brahms, actually himself at a young age took it and began to perform, that the violin concerto found its place in the repertoire. One of the reasons is that it was so extremely difficult for the player, and it was long. And although extremely virtuosic, it didn't have the same standard kind of pyrotechnics that some vehicles of virtuosos otherwise have, some other concertos. So it had all of those challenges. On the other hand, Beethoven was up to his usual tricks, which is to say he did unexpected things. And one of the biggest unexpected things happens in the very opening of the concerto. If we could hear it, I don't know if we'll be able to, but the very first notes, no sign of a violin. We're talking about four solitary notes of the timpani by themselves. And they are a one-measure introduction to the first theme, beautifully set for the winds. You have to wait many minutes before it's time for the solo violin to enter. That reflects the size of the concerto. And then when the violin enters, the voice comes in almost like an etude or some sort of a just thinking it through. How do I start? Like someone saying, well, this afternoon I did plan to give you a talk about flowers. It occurred to me, however, and so on and so forth, instead of we're talking about flowers. The violin wanders upwards into the stratosphere with this long introduction, and then finally we have that beautiful first theme really up there in the stratosphere. It's astonishing.
Now, you mentioned that within the violin repertoire, this piece is a master level. You have to be a very, very talented musician to be able to even approach this piece. What does Rachel Barton Pine specifically bring to the concerto?
Well, in Rachel's case, we're not talking about mere virtuosity, although that's a high quality. She has that and more, but she has an attention to detail, an astonishingly fine ear for pitch, a very deep musicality, and then also an imagination which responds to the music in such a way that she could write her own cadenzas for this concerto, all three of them herself, with great authority and very convincingly. They're beautiful, beautiful cadenzas.
One of the things that I found interesting about Rachel Barton Pine is, in addition to the work that she's done in the classical world, she also has a very active side interest in heavy metal music, which you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, and I had a great, wonderful dose of that a couple of nights ago. Wednesday evening, we had a marvelous recital at Eureka College, and I sat in with Rachel and colleagues and friends of mine from the Heartlands Festival Orchestra in the finale of the Brahms Piano Quintet. But before we played that, we played two string quartet arrangements with medleys from Ozzy Osbourne and Van Halen and AC/DC. I mean, it was great, great fun.
You've talked about the importance of Beethoven both to audiences and to orchestras alike, and the importance of coming back to Beethoven. Can you describe, as a conductor, how does playing Beethoven ground an orchestra and maybe bring back symphony players back to core fundamentals of music and symphonic playing?
That's a great and a very interesting question. I think for all of us, when we revisit total masterworks, we always reapproach them with a kind of respect or reverence even that inspires us to demand the utmost of ourselves in our execution. We need to be the best we possibly can be. And hopefully, as we've been growing as musicians, the best we can be is a little better than last time. Mm-hmm. And we strive for that. And I think that's part of it. For me, the personal experience with Beethoven has been that what seemed really hard to understand and mysterious and resonate with over the course of my professional lifetime has become much more a case of, oh, yeah, of course. Not that I lose my reverence for the work, but that it just strikes me as ever more fundamentally perfect. And its logic is something that comes, it's so much easier for me to understand its logic. And then since we composers, conductors are supposed to assist the composer in delivering the package, the message, it's our job to get inside of Beethoven's head as far as we possibly can, to guess from all those notes on the page, literally and figuratively, what he had in mind. And it just feels as if that works more powerfully and more naturally ever with every day, with each renewed visitation.
And do you think that's a function of having spent more time with the music and more time in interpreting music over the course of your own career? Or do you think that's more a function of just being an older person with more of a life behind him, because, you know, Beethoven, there's so much in Beethoven that it, you know, it occurs to me that possibly a 25 or a 26 year old might be at a disadvantage trying to conduct it, because there's so much emotion, there's so much experience in a Beethoven piece.
You know, there are aspects of Beethoven which appeal to a young teenager, and which a young teenager will get. There's a kind of passion, sometimes rage, or very deep sentiment, which really is accessible to an adolescent. But then there are subtleties, there are moods which are far more autumnal and deeper in Beethoven, which doesn't strike you naturally, as you're saying. So I think for me it's a combination of having worked with, made the music more times, but also trusting both myself and the musicians to make things happen that, as a young conductor, I thought I had to cause. This is hard to explain to somebody who hasn't been on a podium, but you have to make gestures which cause things to happen, but you also could and should leave some things out so that they put themselves together in organic ways. And I've found that that part of my work also is much easier. I just recognize how little I can do and get what I'm hearing.
This will be Rachel's first engagement with the Heartland Festival Orchestra. What do you hope that she takes away from her experience performing with this specific ensemble?
As always, my hope is that any guest artist will take away an experience of spontaneity as well as quality. Our musicians are wonderful players and musicians, and we approach the work without getting head up, without getting tense. The working atmosphere is great, and we work fast and well, but it also has a sense of spontaneity in the performance. So that would be what I would hope Rachel would come away with, as well as the wonderful response from our audience, which is close to us and is also spontaneous in itself. So it's really making music as it's meant to be made, with and for and among friends.
And, of course, every concert you work with some partner organization in the community. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your community partner for this concert?
Yes, for this concert, it's the Community Workshop and Training Center, which works to assist and help train and expand, enrich the lives of adults with disabilities. And I suppose it would be appropriate to mention at this moment that Rachel Barton Pine is an astonishing example of triumph over adversity, having been involved in a near-fatal subway accident in Chicago, a Metra line subway accident, which cost her leg and severely damaged the other one. And she had 2 years of rehabilitation and then went on to the astonishing career that she's enjoying now. So hats off to all those who overcome disabilities, and we're so grateful that Rachel is with us and that we can help support our friends at this Community Workshop and Training Center.
Now, you mentioned before the show started that Rachel, in addition to giving a few other performances this week, also gave a masterclass for the Central Illinois Youth Symphony students. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the impact that has on a young person who's learning the instrument, having their first symphony performance, and here a master comes in and works with them one-on-one?
You know, it can be a life-changing experience. The slightest comment can have amazing repercussions in the life of a young musician. And Rachel demonstrated real ability to connect with our young musicians at Central Illinois Youth Symphony and to help them. And so they'll remember this as something spectacular. Naturally, every student gets nervous, but you get into the music then, especially with someone in that spirit, and it gets transformed. I remember encountering Pablo Casals and Mstislav Rostropovich when they came through town in my early days as a cellist, and the experiences, they're like beacons, they're like lighthouses along the way. It's wonderful, and I'm so glad she took the time with us.
David Commande is the artistic director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. Their new season opens with an all-Beethoven concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. David, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Peoria Players Theater opens its season tonight with Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The production is directed by Jimmy Ulrich and features a cast of more than 50 performers. Curtain time this evening is 7:30 p.m. For additional information on performance times and dates, please visit peoriaplayers.org. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.